Second Ways and Means, today's date's July 3rd, 2017. For those that are out there waiting to hear House Bill 3388, House Bill 5006, House Bill 3470, Senate Bill 1067, those will be heard this afternoon. We're going to have another meeting of Capital Construction this afternoon. They will not be heard this morning. Also, add to that docket Senate Bill 229 and Senate Bill 644. So I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3203. Gregory, tell us what's going on there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee. House Bill 3203 requires contracting agencies to perform an analysis to determine that using its own resources would be the least cost approach when the intended project is $200,000 or more. It requires BOLI to conduct a review every 4 years to determine that the methodology used for setting the threshold is whether it should be adjusted. The bill is anticipated to have a minimal fiscal effect, and the LFO recommends the adoption of the Dash B14 amendment.
Okay, we have a couple people signed up, from AOC, Mike, and from OCAPA, Rich.
Good morning. Rich Angstrom from the Oregon Concrete Aggregate Producers Association. I'm here to testify in favor of the Dash 14s. I'm representing the whole coalition of folks that have sponsored this bill at the beginning of session: AGC, OCAPA, APAO, the Asphalt Paving Association, NUCA, the Northwest Utility Contractors Association. We worked on this for the last couple of years, and this was one of those bills that not everybody got everything they wanted out of it, but it's a 60-40 bill from both sides. So obviously it's a good piece of legislation, and the coalition supports the effort. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Co-Chair Girard, Co-Chair Holvey, members of the committee, Michael Eisen with the Association of Oregon Counties, here on behalf of Association of Oregon Counties, League of Oregon Cities, Special Districts Association of Oregon. Concur with what Mr. Angstrom said. It's a hard-won compromise. Strikes a good balance between ensuring compliance with the current least cost contracting statute, as well as not burdening public agencies with excessive administrative paperwork. So happy to answer any questions, but we support the Dash 14 amendment.
Okay. Thank you, too. Any questions, Representative Huffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess for Rich, there was a lot of conversation around the two-inch or the loophole. Where did that end up?
Chair Girard, Representative Huffman, that's the one area that was not resolved. We will be back to look at that issue down the road. Without going into the detail, because it is a kind of a technical issue, the coalition plans on picking this up in 18 or 19.
Any further questions? Thank you, gentlemen, so much. Anybody else in the audience wish to testify on House Bill 3203? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3203 and open a work session on House Bill 3203. Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Girard, I moved the adoption of the B14 amendment to House Bill 3203.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to adopt the B14s to House Bill 3203. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so moved. Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Girard, I move House Bill 3203 as amended with the B14 amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation. To the full committee, excuse me, with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move House Bill 3203 as amended with the Dash B14 amendments to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any opposition? So moved. We need carriers.
I think the speaker, Barbara Smith Warner, mm-hmm. for the full, and because it's policy, Senator Beyer on the Senate floor.
Okay, did you get that?
Yeah.
Barbara Smith Warner on the floor,
too. Okay, we're going to skip down. And I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5505, and we have to wait a second for Amanda to come. Colleagues, this is the bonding authorization bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5505 is the bond authorization bill, which limits the maximum amount of bonds and third-party financing agreements that state agencies may issue and the amount of revenue state agencies may raise from such issuance. The proceeds from the issuance of bonds are included in revenues in agency budgets. The bill also allocates the federal tax-exempt private activity bond volume cap. The Dash 2 amendment, which is on OLIS, replaces the bill with the final general obligation bonds, revenue bonds, certificates of participation, and other financing agreements authorized to be issued during the 2017-19 biennium. Bond authorizations include $264.3 million in Article 11G and Article 11Q general obligation bonds to finance 14 public university projects, $103.2 million of Article 11G bonds to finance 15 community college projects, $206.1 million of Article 11Q bonds to finance capital costs of state property, including deferred maintenance on state-owned facilities and information technology projects, $121.6 million of Article 11M and 11N general obligation bonds for seismic rehabilitation grants to schools and emergency services facilities, $113.7 million of Article 11Q bonds to complete construction of the Multnomah County Courthouse, provide initial support for replacement of the Lane County Courthouse, and begin renovation of the Supreme Court building, $101 million of Article 11P bonds to fund matching grants at school districts for capital improvements, $101 million of certificates of participation to finance the release of a portion of the Elliott State Forest from restrictions from ownership of the Common School Fund, $81.1 million of Article 11Q bonds for the Local Innovation and Fast Track Housing Program, and $199.9 million of lottery revenue bonds to support projects authorized in Senate Bill 5530 and House Bill 2278 from the 2015 session. A summary of the general obligation bonds included in the Dash 2 amendment is attached to the LFO memo. General fund debt service on the approved bonds is estimated to be $25.1 million in the 2017-19 biennium and $184.2 million in the 1921 biennium. Lottery fund debt service is estimated to be $32.4 million in the 1921 biennium. If the Dash 2 amendment is approved, remaining debt capacity for general fund supported bonds will be approximately $80.8 million and lottery bonds will be approximately $26.2 million.
Well, thank you. Is there any questions for staff at all? Is there any comments about the budget? We're really quiet up here.
Well, I think, Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes.
I think one of the things that I think we tried this time around was to have a conversation about which of these projects, some bonding is being done halfway through the biennium mm-hmm. versus leaving everything to the end. I think one of the things that we will struggle and try to do in sessions ahead is not leave everything to the end of the biennium for our bonding. That has caused some challenges in terms of selling bonds. So we do have some things being sold a little earlier in the biennium. The challenge with that becomes you start paying debt service earlier. So you will see some things a little earlier. For example, on the LIFT program, we're trying to do $40 million in the first year, $40 million in the second year to kind of split it up. But it does tend to be a challenge to do that because of having to pay the debt service early. So.
Anybody else with a comment? I'm going to weigh in a little bit here, and that is there is one thing in this budget that I absolutely did not want, and that's the funding of the Elliott. I just felt very passionate about that. Having said that, there's $940 million worth of reasons to vote for the bill other than the Elliott, and so I will be a yes, but I find it sad that we make it so difficult to harvest timber. Having said that, that's the end of my comments.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 5505.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 5505. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? So moved. Mr. Co-Chair.
I move Senate Bill 5505 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move Senate Bill 5505 as amended with the dash two amendments to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So moved. Do we need carriers?
You should carry them.
No.
You would.
Can Hobie carry to the full and to the floor for us?
Yes.
Yeah, that would work.
I'll carry.
Peter, do you want to carry?
Peter, do you want to carry? Because the
there's a.
It's going to be very esoteric.
You want me to carry a budget bill?
No. I'll carry.
Richard and Senator Devlin.
It's a long pony.
Yeah, that could be it. Okay, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5530. Amanda, fill us in.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. Senate Bill 5530 is the lottery bond authorization bill, which authorizes the issuance of lottery revenue bonds for specified projects. All lottery revenue bonds authorized for the 2017-19 biennium are included in Senate Bill 5530, with the exception of one project that was authorized in House Bill 2278 from the 2015 session. The dash four amendment replaces the bill with the final 2017-19 lottery bond authorizations. A total of $165.1 million of net lottery bond proceeds are authorized to be spent on 31 projects, including $30 million for the Connect Oregon Fund, $20 million to recapitalize the Special Public Works Fund for municipal infrastructure projects, $10 million for levy inspection, repair, certification, and accreditation projects, $25 million for affordable housing preservation, and $22.2 million for planning, feasibility studies, and water supply development projects. A complete list of the lottery bond projects included in Senate Bill 5530 is attached to the work session memo.
Okay, Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Girard, I move the adoption of the dash four amendment to Senate Bill 5530.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move the dash four amendments to Senate Bill 5530. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? So moved.
Co-Chair Girard, I move Senate Bill 5530 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move Senate Bill 5530 as amended with the dash four amendments to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? I just want to add to the record that there are a lot of good projects that didn't get funded, and we just didn't simply have the capacity to do it. And this was probably one of the hardest lottery bond authorization budgets that we had to deal with.
And may I follow up?
Sure.
I would concur with the chair on that. I think the other thing is that we strive not to spend every bit of our bonding capacity because of, you know, if lottery bonds dip or lottery dollars dip, our bonding capacity dips as well. So I think we're trying to be cautious. We left a little headroom. The other issue is there are some projects that, again, trying to adhere to our new budgeting principles around this, if we could find one-time dollars to fund some of the smaller things in cash, that will show up in the bills that are up this afternoon. So, for example, it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to take on debt service for things under a certain amount, and so there might be some other things people are looking for in the bills this afternoon in straight cash.
Good comments. Any other comments? Senator Neville.
Two. I think one echoes a previous comment. I think at one time we were in a quest $340 million over capacity. The second is I do think the number of projects that came forward that were of a community nature begged us that we need to have a process for the consideration of community projects in the future, because these are becoming more and more prevalent in this package, and we need to have some process for sifting through them.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. That's not a good comment. Anybody else? Any other comments? Okay, the motion is.
have we made the motion?
I think you made the motion. Go ahead.
Well, make it again, just for clarity. I move Senate Bill 5530 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move Senate Bill 5530 as amended by the dash four amendments to full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any more discussion? Any opposition? So moved. Carriers. Yes, I'll take this one.
I'll carry it on the floor on the House side.
Sounds good. Thanks. I appreciate being able to do that. Okay, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5506, Capital Construction. This is for
limitations. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, Senate Bill 5506 is the capital construction bill. This means it's the budget bill for capital construction projects. The bill establishes authority for the acquisition of land and planning, design, repair, and construction of projects with costs over $1 million. Projects included in this bill are funded with the proceeds of bonds authorized in Senate Bill 5505, as well as other revenues and federal grants received by agencies. The Dash 1 amendment replaces the bill and establishes $738.3 million in other funds capital construction expenditure limitation and $4.8 million in federal funds capital construction expenditure limitation for the 2017-19 biennium. Capital construction expenditure limitation is established for a six-year period, so projects approved in this bill will expire on June 30th, 2023. The bill also extends dates and increases limitation for previously approved projects. A list of the capital construction expenditure limitation for projects approved in Senate Bill 5506 is attached. LFO is recommending adoption of the Dash 1 amendment.
Okay, Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Girard, I move the adoption of the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5506.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 5506. Any discussion? Any opposition? So moved. Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Girard, I move Senate Bill 5506 as amended to the full Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
You've heard the motion to for Senate Bill 5506 as amended with the Dash 1 amendment to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any opposition? So moved. Carriers?
Yet again?
Oh, you can give your Greg Smith.
Okay.
This one.
You want Greg Smith on the full?
He's not here today, so.
Oh, okay.
This one, I think.
Who wants to carry that on the full?
I think you can.
I can do it if
you want. I think you can carry it, and I think you can carry it to the floor, too, because I don't believe it includes a certain allocation in it.
It does not.
Geez, I don't know what that allocation is. Okay.
It's about $100 million.
Okay, thank you so much.
Oh, and Mr. Chairman, one thing. Late word, can we change the carrier for 5505 to Senator Courtney?
Okay. You're going to have a big font for him? I should have so much fun. Okay, I'm going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 5529. Steve, tell us what this one's about.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair and subcommittee members. Senate Bill 5529 is the allocations bill. What this bill does is it allocates lottery funds, criminal fine account funds, and Oregon marijuana account funds to finance the programs that you in the state budget and to pay debt service on lottery revenue bonds. The common feature of these three accounts included affected by this bill is that these are accounts that are not in the general fund, but that contain funds that are ultimately sent to numerous agencies. This is the bill that actually distributes the funds to those agencies. We have provided information in the recommendation on what those distributions will be, and I'm happy to answer any questions. I would like to note that this is the first time that this bill includes allocations from the Veterans Services account of Measure 96 lottery funds that are dedicated to Veterans Services, and it is also the first time that this bill includes allocations from the marijuana account. The distributions from both of those accounts are included in the materials that are posted.
Okay, no one signed up to testify. So, Senate Bill 5529, anybody else wish to testify on Senate Bill 5529? I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5529 and open a work session on Senate Bill 5529. Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Gerard, I move the adoption of the Dash 3 amendment to Senate Bill 5529.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 5529. Any discussion? Any opposition? So moved. Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Gerard, I move Senate Bill 5529 as amended with a Dash 3 amendment to the full Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move Senate Bill 5529 as amended with the Dash 3 amendments to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any opposition? So moved. Carriers?
I think Nancy for the floor.
You want Nancy to do both?
Sure.
Okay.
Winters for the Senate floor.
Okay, Winters for the Senate floor. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 5045, and we got Gregory to take us home for this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee. House Bill 5045 is the funding package, is the funding bill for the transportation package. It includes other funds expenditure limitation for the 1719 biennium. In particular, it includes $110.9 million and 50 positions for ODOT, and this is mostly for direct project costs, grants to transit providers, and project-related studies. It includes $3.9 million and 8 positions for the Department of Revenue to implement the transportation package taxes, including the new statewide transit tax, and it includes $389,122 and 2 positions for DEQ to implement a rebate program for low and moderate income persons who purchase qualifying low emission vehicles and to address increased workload in the storm permitting area for projects that are included in the bill. The bill includes trigger language so that it would only become effective if House Bill 2017 is enacted. The limitation of the bill for ODOT represents the department's estimated need for the first 6 months of the 2017 biennium, with the exception of about $51 million that's included for transit grants, and the LFO is requesting DAS to unschedule that amount until such time as the revenue can cover those grants. The Dash 2 amendment provides the described expenditure limitation.
Is there any questions for Gregory? I have one. This basically is the spending bill. This isn't the one that authorizes the taxes.
Correct.
Okay. Is there anybody from the audience that wishes to testify on House Bill 5045? Hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 5045. And I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 5045. Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Gerard, I move the adoption of the Dash 2 amendment to House Bill 5045.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 5045. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? So moved.
Okay, we have. Could you carry it to the floor?
Oh, he's got budget notes. Hold on a second.
Oh, I'm sorry, my apologies.
We got ahead of ourselves a little bit.
So there are two budget notes that are being recommended here. The first budget note is a report on the status of the positions and the projects that are included in the bill. As I indicated, the bill includes about the department's estimated need for positions for the first 6 months. So this language would require the department to come back, report on the status of hiring those positions, report on the status of the projects, and at that time, the legislature could consider authorizing additional limitation and positions. The second budget note is a report on implementation of I-205 congestion relief and related funding. It just directs the department to come back and to report on the status of that and to notify the legislature immediately if there are any funding shortfalls as it relates to congestion relief efforts on I-205.
You might want to need a motion to adopt the...
Co-Chair Gerard, I move the LFO recommendation on the budget notes.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to accept the LFO recommendation on the budget notes. Any discussion? Any opposition? So moved.
LFO recommends that House Bill 5045, as amended by the Dash 2 amendment, be moved to the Full Ways and Means Committee.
We've already done that, and I think we adopted the budget notes, so I think we're okay. Do we need to redo it?
I don't think we've moved it to the full committee yet.
Okay, I can do it twice. Okay.
Or did we?
Because I think we have carrier.
I think we need the final amendment.
Yeah, I move House Bill 5045 as amended to the full committee on Ways and Means with a two-pass recommendation.
Okay, colleagues. You've heard the motion to move House Bill 5045 as amended with the Dash 2 amendments and with the budget notes to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any opposition? So moved. Carriers?
I can carry to the full and to the floor.
We'll have Caddy McEwen, Representative McEwen, move it for the House on the floor.
Okay. Is there any other business right now for any of my colleagues up here? If not, we're going to go into recess. So I'm going to recess the Capital Construction Committee until this afternoon. Capital Construction Subdivision of Ways and Means, and we're going to, I need to make an announcement that Senate Bill 229, which is scheduled for a work session, we have posting problems, and we will hear that after 1:05. So might have a little bit of delay in here. So I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 644.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. Senate Bill 644 defines a significant mineral resource site and stipulates that mining activities on such a site that is located on land zoned for exclusive farm use in Baker, Grant, Harney, Lake, Malheur, Union, or Wallowa counties is not subject to conformity with any statewide land use planning goal or administrative rule for the purpose of a county approval of an application for the land use permit, with exceptions. A project coordinating committee must also be activated by the State Department of Geology and Mineral Industries upon receipt of an application for an operating permit to mine on a significant mineral resource site to address concerns of other state agencies, federal agencies, and to address landowner concerns within the operational impact area. The measure stipulates a number of conditions and requirements for the permitting of mining activities on these sites by the State Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, including amendments to permits to conform with subsequently issued federal, state, and local permits, notice of permit application and comment solicitation from cooperating federal and state agencies, and provisions to address the conflicts between mining operations, agricultural activities, and concerns addressed by cooperating agencies. The measure in the ANGROS version also makes declarations regarding the mining of significant mineral resources and private rights of actions regarding nuisance or trespass in relation to permitting mining sites on land zoned for exclusive farm use being inconsistent with state interest in economic development, and other, and also requires the GAMI to make all the data and research on mineral resource potential in eastern and southern Oregon counties accessible online. On OLIS, you have the Dash A8 amendment, and the A8 amendment requires counties to deny applications that are in significant conflict with local road capacity, existing public airport safety, or other health safety concerns. It adds additional conditions to the issuance of a provisional permit requiring the owner-operator to amend to obtain amendments to the permit to conform with subsequently issued permits. And also prohibiting the operations on the land prior to the effective date of the provisional permit. The amendments go on to require permits to include conditions addressing adverse effects identified in each of the federal and state permitting and cooperating agencies, requires the department to avoid or minimize conflicts identified by the coordinating committee by applying conditions to the operating permit, removes declarations regarding the mining of significant mineral resources and private rights of action regarding permitting mining lands zoned for exclusive farm use that are inconsistent with the state's interest in economic development. And it removes provisions requiring DOGAMI to make all data and research on mineral resources potential in eastern and southern Oregon counties accessible online. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends the adoption of the Dash 88 amendments.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Girard, I move the adoption of the Dash 88 amendment to Senate Bill 644.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to accept the Dash 88 amendment to Senate Bill 644. Is there any comments? Any objections? Hearing none, so moved.
Co-Chair Girard, I move Senate Bill 644 as amended by the Dash 88 amendments to the full Joint Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Any comments, colleagues? I'm going to make one just real briefly. I want to say that I really appreciate the hard work of Anna Braun and Senator Dembro. We have worked really hard to get this bill to where it's at. Other than that, is there any opposition to this bill? If not, so moved. Carriers? I'll carry on the Senate and the floor of the Senate.
And the pool.
In the fall.
Who's on the Natural Resource Sub? Is Brad Witt?
Yeah, Brad would like it.
Okay. Yeah. Brad.
Okay, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 5006. And Steve, you want to come forward from the Secretary of State's office?
Good afternoon, co-chairs, members of the committee. My name is Steve Elzinga. I'm the Governmental and Legal Affairs Director for the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State has concerns with some of the cuts that are being proposed in House Bill 5006 and how they will risk the ability of our agency to fulfill our constitutional and statutory missions. Specifically, the Elections Division, combined with this bill and previous bills, is facing a total of $760,000 cut in general funds, which is approximately 10.3% of their total. On top of that, they're facing a $473,000 cut in federal funds authorization. Combined, these cuts would make it difficult and possibly prevent us from continuing the motor voter program in its current form, specifically the mailers that are sent out to people who are automatically registered to vote, and a letter detailing those details was sent to the co-chairs last Wednesday, and I've submitted it into OLIS for the record today. Additionally, it would force us to cut consultation to the Attorney General for a lot of our manuals and other legal compliance issues, and would result in blocking us from bringing OCVR in-house, which will actually result in additional cost to the state long-term because in-house can be done cheaper. The impact on audits will force us to hold several audit positions open, which will mean less accountability and less working with some of the audits that have been requested by the Joint Legislative Committee on Audits. And we're also concerned about the impact this will have on our IT and our ability to prevent hacking. There are attempts from all over the world all the time trying to hack into our election system, and we want to ensure that those are preserved. So we wanted to put those on the record. I know that this is going to be passing as is, but we will be coming back to the emergency board requesting additional funds at the earliest opportunity because of the inability to complete the statutory and constitutional mission. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Steve? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is not my understanding of. So can we get clarity from which analyst was on this? Is Secretary of State Budget?
Steve Bender. That would be Steve Bender from the Legislative Fiscal Office. I would just note, but while Steve comes, that the statewide adjustments, I believe some of which that the gentleman's referring to, are being taken across all branches of government, including the judicial branch, the legislative branch, and the executive branch. All departments and even elected officials are being affected by the statewide hiring freeze. And I would also just note for clarification, there might be some misunderstanding about the AG. The reduction related to AG costs is because the Department of Justice budget took reductions during the budget process, and as part of the rebalancing of the budget, you know, their rates will be going down. So what the cuts for that reflect is you will not be charged for the rate for those rates, so that you don't need the money to pay those rates because it's gone down, the rates have gone down. So that's same for the Department of Administrative Services for their assessments and also for their fees for service.
Because they're...
Yeah, I think he wants to respond.
If I may,
go ahead, Steve.
I appreciate members of the co-chairs, members of the committee. We understand that the AG rates will be going down. I'm talking about additional cuts to AG services, and that would be forced because the elections division only has 16 FTE that are paid for out of general funds, and the longevity of the employees in that division is higher than normal. We do not anticipate being able to hold positions open in elections, which would force us to have to take those hiring slowdown reductions in other places. One of the most logical places we believe would be less consultation with the Attorney General, so it would actually be less legal services, and that's above and beyond the AG cuts there.
Senator Devlin.
Well, I was just looking because there appeared to be some questioning eyes on the House side. The budget is built on the basis of what the requested AG rate is. And so we actually make a later adjustment to that because we never give the Attorney General what he or she requests. And so the number is lower. It's actually somewhat higher than it was in the biennium that we just completed. But all budgets have to be adjusted again for that once we actually set the rate for the biennium we are now in. Mm-hmm. So it's just a normal process.
Okay. Any other comments? Mr. Bender, did you want to comment down there?
Mr. Co-Chair and subcommittee members, the budget adjustments that the Secretary of State is mentioning in terms of the cuts that are applied to all state agencies are applied to them as well, and in the same manner as they are for other agency budgets. The reductions to the Secretary of State's Elections Division, in addition to that, is a $250,000 reduction in services and supplies. This was a reduction that was made as part of the overall general reductions across the board, across state agencies, to help balance the budget, but this was the component that was applied to the Secretary of State's budget. There were a number of additional funds that you provided to this agency general fund above the current service level. Some of these were for items that are continuing but were phased out. This budget recognizes the fact that even though programs that were not technically in the current service level need to be continued, and the budget does provide funding for those programs as well. Late, we did receive information that the costs of sending out notifications to voters of their ability to opt out of motor voter were higher than were included in the budget, and that this was a problem for the agency. We think that this would be something to look that should be reviewed, and if we get additional information in the 2018 session, I think you will be able to address it then.
Okay. Any other comments for this witness? Okay. Hey, thank you, Steve. Anybody else want to testify on House Bill 5006? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing on 5006, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 5006. Mr. Co-Chair.
I'm Co-Chair Girard. I move the adoption of the DAC-6 amendment to House Bill 5006.
Okay, colleagues, you've heard the motion to adopt the DAC-6 amendments to House Bill 5006. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So moved.
So LFO is recommending that House Bill 5006, as amended by the DAC-6 amendment, be moved to the Ways and Means Full Committee.
Okay. Mr. Co-Chair?
Co-Chair Girard. I move House Bill 5006 as amended by the Dash 6 Amendment to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a two-pass recommendation.
Okay, as you've heard, we're moving House Bill 5006 as amended by the Dash 6 Amendment to the full Ways and Means Committee with a two-pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any opposition? So moved. Carriers?
Mr. Chairman, this bill and the next bill are bills traditionally carried by the co-chairs of Ways and Means. And
okay.
Since Representative Nathanson is chairing this afternoon, I'll carry them at full.
Okay.
But she'll carry them on the House floor, and I'll carry them at the Senate floor.
Okay. Good enough. Okay, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3470. Okay, we have nobody signed up to testify on House Bill 3470. Is there anybody in the audience that wants to testify on House Bill 3470? Why don't you give us a, before I close this, go ahead and give us a summation of what that is.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, House Bill 3470 relates to state financial administration. An amendment replaces the bill. The amended version of the bill is commonly referred to as the program change bill. The bill has an emergency clause and is effective on passage. The amended version of the bill implements statutory changes necessary to support the 2017-19 legislatively adopted budget and to clarify application of statute. The bill is not an appropriation bill and does not include the appropriation of funds. The bill is necessary to balance the 2017-19 biennium's budget. The budgetary actions associated with this measure are included in the bill you just previously heard, House Bill 5006 and Senate Bill 5529, the lottery, criminal fines, and marijuana allocation measure, as well as specific agency budget measures. On OLIS is a preliminary staff measure summary and a detailed section-by-section fiscal impact statement. Would you like some more specific detail,
please.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee? The measure extends the repeal date on various statutes, including a report on the Treasurer's investment statutes, determining the allocation of science, technology, engineering, and math, and career and technical education resources after passage of ballot measure 98, authorizes the Department of Human Services to appear as a party in juvenile court proceedings without appearance of an attorney, suspends certain temporary assistance for needy family program services, and extends current law related to legislator and other elected official salaries. The measure also transfers the Oregon Volunteer Commission for Voluntary Action and Service from Housing and Community Services Department to the Office of the Governor, and transfers Connect Oregon loan repayments from the Department of Transportation to the Oregon Business Development Department. The measure changes the allocation of state marijuana tax revenues, changes the method by which cities and counties receive state marijuana tax allocations, and directs the Office of Economic Analysis to forecast state marijuana tax revenues. The measure allows the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to continue to temporarily borrow from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission account to pay expenses of marijuana control account of the marijuana control account. The measure allows counties to reallocate up to one half of the general fund appropriated to county law libraries to conciliation and mediation services. The measure transfers $111.3 million from various fund balances to the general fund for general governmental purposes and makes various other changes reflecting the fiscal impact and staff measure summary. Thank you, Mr. Kutcher.
Okay, thank you. Colleagues, any questions at all? In the audience, last chance, House Bill 3470. Anybody wish to testify on House Bill 3470? I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3470, and we're going to go to work session on House Bill 3470.
Co-Chair Girard, I move the adoption of the Dash 8 Amendment to House Bill 3470.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move the Dash 8 amendments to House Bill 3470. Any comments? Any opposition? So moved. Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Gerard, I move House Bill 3470 as amended by the Dash 8 Amendment to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move House Bill 3470 as amended by the Dash 8 Amendments to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any comments? Any opposition? So moved.
I'll carry to full and to the Senate floor, and Representative Nathanson will carry to the House floor.
Okay, great. All right. We're going to get into something that has a little bit of opposition to it. We're going to open up a hearing on Senate Bill 1067. Please tell us what this is about.
Good afternoon, committee. Senate Bill 1067 with the Dash 28 amendments makes numerous changes to programs and processes to ensure efficiencies and contain state government costs, mostly beginning in the 2019-21 biennium and then into the future. The measure will result in direct savings, redeployment of funds, and institution of prudent financial practices and principles. Specific changes include additional legislative review of reclassification of positions by state agencies and agency long-term vacancies. Additional reporting on collective bargaining changes that have economic impact. Reduces the cap on state government FTE to 1% of the state population from the current 1.5% of the population. Requires the Legislative Fiscal Office to study the Lottery Commission administrative costs and transfer rate prior to each odd-numbered year session. Requires a study of state procurement practices to achieve further efficiencies and savings. Authorizes the Legislative Fiscal Office to update current service level assumptions from what is used to prepare the governor's budget proposal. Sets a target of 2% of replacement value to be spent on deferred maintenance each biennium. Modifies the law regarding per-site accounts, the prepaid employer contributions, and requires the governor's budget proposal to include recommendation on funds available for additional site account deposits. Limits the PERS contingency reserve fund to $50 million. Ensures that communications regarding the PERS unfunded accrued liability includes information on site accounts. Requires the legislature to establish a minimum project amount to be eligible for bond financing. Projects below that amount need to be funded with cash. Centralizes debt collection activity in state government in the Department of Revenue and further specifies changes to debt collection processes and reporting. Requires the Public Employees Benefit Board and the Oregon Educators Benefit Board to establish an executive committee to develop a plan for the merger of the boards and to begin consolidation of employment relations. Requires both of those boards to adopt methodologies designed to limit growth in premium or per member health plan costs to 3.4% per year. Eliminates double coverage for PEB and OEBB employees who have family members also employed by a PEB or OEBB employer. And ties hospital rates for PEB and OEBB to a percentage of Medicare rates.
Any comments for staff on this? Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Gerard, I move the adoption of the Dash 28 amendment to Senate Bill 1067.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move the Dash 28 amendment to Senate Bill 1067. Any comments? Any opposition? So moved. Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Gerard, I move Senate Bill 1067 as amended by the Dash 28 amendment to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move Senate Bill 1067 as amended with the Dash 28s to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Any comments? I'm going to take a second here, and I am actually going to be a no on this bill. I was one of the few Republicans that voted for the provider tax. I think this is a double whammy for hospitals. I love the rest of the bill, and I know that it's been amended to take care of some of those concerns. I appreciate those amendments, but I in all good consciousness, I can't vote that way. I sat on a hospital board, so I'll be a no vote. Is there any other no votes?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to join you. I want a little more time to look at the 200% cap and talk to my folks and I just need to have a comfort level there. So in the meantime, I'm going to be a courtesy no.
Okay. Is there any... okay, so there's two no votes on this.
Don't look at me.
I'll take this away. So anyway, with two no votes, the Senate Bill 1067 passes. Who do you want to carry?
I'll carry to the full and carry to the Senate floor.
Okay. On the House side?
Can I carry this on the floor or Nancy?
Let's Nancy for now.
Representative Nathanson will carry it on the House floor.
Okay. Great. Okay, we're going to take a little bit of a recess until 1:06. Construction of Right Ways and Means, and we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 229.
Subcommittee member, Senate Bill 229B makes numerous changes to elections law. These changes are listed in the preliminary staff measure summary and do not have more than a minimal fiscal impact to the Secretary of State or counties. The bill also provides that if any bills passed during the current session are referred to voters by referendum petition, a special election on the question will be held on January 23, 2018. Absent this provision, the question would be decided in the November 2018 general election. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends adoption of the B-14 amendments.
B-14?
Yes. These amendments limit the special election only to a referendum on House Bill 2391. That's the provider tax bill. If any other measures are referred to voters by referendum petition, the question will be decided at the November general election. The amendments also delete the blank appropriation to the emergency board in the bill. The fiscal impact of this special election is indeterminate. The Secretary of State's budget does not include funding for a special election. If a special election is held, the Secretary of State will request funds either during the 2018 session or from the emergency board following that session after election costs are known. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize. It's probably a little more along the policy line. How come January was picked? Does it? Because I know there was some controversy around this. Does it have to do with waiting later in the year creates a financial challenge, or what? Why January?
I do not.
I think that's a policy decision, and you'd have to ask the people who made it.
I can speak to it. We talked about this in the Rules Committee. If the provider tax is referred, that's the fastest, the soonest we could have it on the ballot to get some assurances about whether we're moving forward with the provider tax, as opposed to waiting until May or November and having that uncertainty. Not having certainty until later in the year, so it was the first date we could put it on the ballot to
so it
solve
was
that problem.
Kind of a financial decision.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Girard, I move the adoption of the.
Senator Devlin.
I'm not trying to editorialize, but the reality is if the provider tax is referred, if it's entirely referred, we would be in such budget disarray that we need to know what is going to happen, because we would have to try to address it in February, even if all that was referred is the insurance tax portion of it. We would be in similar disarray, and we would have to take action. Unlike some statements that have been made, our budget would be unbalanced if the voters' action was not in the affirmative. And we would have to do major corrections to the budget, if those were possible, in February.
Okay. Any other comments that I'm missing here? Okay. Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Girard, I move the adoption of the B-14 amendment to Senate Bill 229.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move the draft B-14 to Senate Bill 229. Is there any opposition to that? Seeing none or hearing none, so moved.
Co-Chair Girard, I move Senate Bill 229 as amended by the B14 amendment to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to move Senate Bill 229 amended by the dash B14 amendment to full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any comments? I'll make one very brief comment. This is on the Senate Republicans bad bill list, so I'll be a no. But
Fred.
Yes, I know. Thank you.
Do we have a bad bill list?
it helps us that when we get older, that tells us how to vote.
So extrapolation, the House is younger.
That's true. That's true. You guys can ad lib on your own.
But not wiser.
So is there any opposition?
I think offensive.
Is there any opposition to this besides me? Okay, it passes. Story of this session. Okay. So who wants to be the carriers of this?
On the Senate floor, be Senator Burdick. I think Representative Williamson to full and to the House floor would be great.
I would love that.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was going to recommend.
Any comments for the order? Because we're going to recess. I was told to do that in case we have to come back. I'm hoping we don't, but
one
never knows. So we're going to recess until further notice.
Thanks, Kelly.
That means you have to come back.
Consideration and work session on House Bill 5006.
Open the committee first, don't you?
No, we're in recess. Okay, I'm going to open the hearing again. We were in recess, so we're going to have a possible reconsideration and work session on House Bill 5006. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended to allow a motion to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 5006 was reported out with a recommendation to the full committee. Are there any objections? Hearing none, so order. The chair will accept a motion to reconsider.
Co-Chair Girard, I move to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 5006 was reported out with a recommendation to the full committee.
Colleagues, you heard the motion to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 5006 was reported out with a recommendation to the full committee. Are there any objections? Hearing none, so order. Paul, take us home.
Mr. Chairman of the committee, LFO recommends adoption of the Dash 7 amendment to House Bill 5006, which includes all the previous contents of the Dash 6 amendment with the following differences: a $2 million grant to the Crescent Sanitary District Sewer System, include debt service and cost of issuance for bonds sold to fund the state capital accessibility, maintenance, and safety project, and reduces the additional general fund appropriation for the emergency housing assistance and state homeless assistance programs from $21 million to $20 million.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Girard, I move the adoption of the Dash 7 amendment to House Bill 5006.
Colleagues, you heard the motion to adopt the Dash 7 amendments to House Bill 5006. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair Girard, I move House Bill 5006 as amended by the Dash 7 amendment to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you heard the motion to move House Bill 5006 with the Dash 7 amendments to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The same carriers as before. And we are going to recess with the distinct possibility we might come back, which I'm hoping we don't.
He had to come back.